Hey everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show. Welcome, everybody, today to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm sitting here with Brad Jamestown. For those of you that may not know Brad, he is an amazing singer, songwriter, guitarist, and I really love watching him grow. I think that, you know, we've met, it was about last year in Ibiza, and we just like clicked. It was just like, hey, what's up? How's it going? It was beautiful to watch this man's like smile, this man's connection and his resilience as he's continued to grow, putting himself into different uncertain circumstances and believing in himself. And I think, you know, this is something to be really recognized, because I guarantee you that in a few years, this man is going to be a multi-platinum recording artist. And I can just see it because of his intention, his happiness, his willingness to shine and not allow any of external circumstances really help stop him from growing. So welcome, bro. It's good to have you, man.
Thank you so much, Eric. That's a beautiful, beautiful warm welcome to the show. Thank you.
It's good to see you, bro. How are you feeling? How's things? Where are you at? Tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world right now.
Yeah, so all is well. I'm surfing the waves of feeling sadness and feeling great joy at the same time, being able to feel deep sadness and great joy in the same moment. It's an exciting time, as you know. We met in Ibiza, and I've come away from my tribe in Ibiza to London, which feels like at the moment I'm still fresh here, so it feels like a big, cold, dark, scary, somewhat lonely city at the minute. I've yet to find my tribe here, but I feel like a man on a mission, and just released my first single this week.
Hey,
and it's been 20 years in the making. It's been 20 years of overcoming, or maybe 10 years of overcoming, but 20 years in the making, 10 years of overcoming imposter syndrome to get this music out into the world. And it's a real happy, feel-good banger. And then there's a part of me that's going, oh, but it's not got the depth that I know that I can write at. But then I know that if my first single had been the depth that I could write at, then I'd be like, oh, it's not fun enough. People think my music's depressing. And it's just, there's always a little excuse somewhere on the back of your head to doubt yourself. But I'm really happy that I've opened the door, stuck my flag in the ground, and it's happening. First song's out there.
I love it, dude. I want to say that, you know, it's really fascinating, because there's a lot of times that this world tries to reflect back at us and tell us how much we need to make things perfect. In perfection, it doesn't exist, you know? It's not something that allows us to define who we are, rather than creating something from like the spirit of making things happen and as we go. So it's so funny, because I know what you're talking about. I can relate to it in a deep way, and so much of my like mission. And we want to make things perfect. But what I've learned is that perfection actually only comes at the form of implementation, as the form of action, as derived action. And so it's like, you know, knowledge is not power. It's potential power. knowledge implemented is where power comes from. And so I think that you've defined and recognized this at a deep level, you know, working on it on 20 years, but really implementing it for over a decade and then finally bringing it to life. So it's like, you see, and this is where your power is coming. It's like finally bringing it out, putting it in there. And so, dude, I just want to say is like, it's all about the navigation of, you know, bringing our internal world into the external rather than trying to create perfection inside. And so, bro, as you do this, as you, you know, really shine and start to express yourself, how much of this internal depth of uncertainty have you felt before? Because you said it's been a process. So I'm curious to know, you know, through sadness, through happiness, through these peaks and valleys, how does that show up for you? And how has that shown up for you in the past so that you finally made this decision and say, no, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to create and I'm going to express no matter what anybody thinks out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you, brother. Over the past couple of years, I've actually recorded a couple of EPs that have just sat there unfinished on friends' laptops, here, there, and everywhere. And they were great. It was great music. It was great music. But I just stumbled at the final hurdle and just missed that bit of conviction that was necessary to project it out to the world. And through insecurity of myself or maybe just not the motivation, not the drive to actually really believe in what was possible for me. So why bother? And then after a breakup, I had a 9-year relationship come to an end, and it was one of the most difficult things to transition through. And I just remember thinking, nothing can feel as bad as this. No rejection from someone not liking my music or the music not taking off the way I wanted to or not being heard or being judged as an artist. Nothing can hurt as much as this right now. So it was actually the pain that was like the motivation to start taking action and move forward and alchemize that and create something beautiful from it. And so I wrote a song that was really lighthearted. It came from a real place of deep pain, but I wrote a song that was really lighthearted and to cheer myself up. The line goes, I just want to feel good. That's the line. And now it's out there in the world and hopefully it'll cheer some others up as well. But yeah, it was to finally have that complete product out there. Just feels like such a relief, and it feels like just the beginning. Doesn't feel like I've like reclimbed this mountain. It feels like I've just finally opened the door.
Do you feel like when you allow yourself to express and stop thinking about it, allowing the mind to kind of come into the place of decision of making you create a story that you're like, no, I'm just going to express myself. I'm going to define how I want to bring this world out, like my internal world, and hopefully it resonates. So it's like there's a piece of it where you're allowing yourself to truly be in a present moment rather than think of the stories that, you know, what's going on back here.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've been performing since I was 10 years old. Yeah. I wrote my first song when I was 10. Yeah. And from an early age, I'd quite happily pick up my guitar and sing a song for anybody who would listen, whether it be 2 people, whether it be 20 people. I've sang to a crowd of 4,000 people. And it was always a real rush. It was always a real joy. It was always a real deep fulfillment from expressing emotionally, tapping deep into an emotional space and locking eyes with different people around the room, like, and realizing we're all in sync in this moment together. And by me diving to the depths of my emotion and bring that out, it allows others to experience theirs and process through theirs. And I've loved that. However, recording something and putting it out there onto the world to be viewed out of my presence was always a total different thing. It always felt like a real different thing. And even just creating videos of myself to post, I would get like a lot of anxiety over it. So the past year, I started doing that, making videos and forcing myself to put them out online. It was really, like, really caused me loads of anxiety. And I suppose I've got some idea where it come from, this anxiety about it, but it's just so unnecessary, just holding myself back with it. Mm-hmm. So eventually I decided I'm going to do a crowdfunder to fund the EP and put it out there to my audience. And I was so blessed in that I got so much support. Everyone jumped in and helped me get this project going. But it meant that I had accountability.
Yeah.
Because now the people had joined in, and it was almost like beyond my power, that stumbling block at the very end that I'd tripped over a couple of times before of recording beautiful music and then keeping it to myself through fear. Yeah. This time I did not have a choice. I was accountable to.
It's beautiful because it put you into the state of saying, hey, like, you know, your reason came first and the answer just showed up. And all of a sudden you did it with a group of people that really believed in you. And believe in you continuously. And so now you're reflecting back. And I think that this is something that is beautifully allows us to expand, I think, as a society, as a culture, as creators. Because we then find our mirrors, right? The people that resonate with us at some sort of frequency, right? And these mirrors, they allow us to really bring out the best version of ourselves, right? Because we're all learning from each other constantly. And so I'm curious to know, as you have gone through this journey and you've spent that time on stage and you've built that level of emotion, you know, there's this philosophy, that logic is the higher perspective of being. And I believe that it's actually the combination of emotion and logic. So when you can tap into the emotion and then communicate it effectively through logic, that's where the higher meaning really stems from. And I think that that's what my hallucination is, that that's what you do with your music, especially with your presence, right? So maybe that's where you feel, because you're able to be in that present moment with somebody or a group of people but how does it make you feel, and what do you feel from people because of that emotional connection in person live?
So had a really powerful moment that's worth bringing up, actually, just yesterday or the day before. I'm currently in central London to promote my music. I've got a couple more songs ready to go, and part of my promotion is I'm just busking full time. I've got a couple of busking licenses around the city. It's amazing how many people I can project my music to in an afternoon, how many people I can connect with, and how much footage people are capturing for me. It's just perfect. It's so refreshing to be able to play what I want to play rather than being in a pub. I love the pub gigs, but you're obviously trying to keep everybody drinking. I'm doing a job in that moment, whereas this is a bit more of an authentic expression. And I had deep, deep sadness in my heart on the morning, to the point where I thought I might not even be able to go out today. But I thought, come on, you'll feel better for it. Just get yourself there. First song, All of Me by John Legend. It took me 10 minutes to get through that song. 10 minutes to get through that song. because I was just about to get to the chorus, and then the frog in my throat was too much. The tears were like bursting out of my eyes, streaming down my face. I just had to take a deep breath and step back from the microphone. And I just had to, I said, do not stop. Do not stop playing. Come on, you are a warrior. Keep on going. And I rolled around the chords and I turned my back to the audience and just looking at the river while I had some breaths. By this time, the song was going on. I think people had noticed the emotional struggle I was having to get through the song. And it accumulated a crowd of about 120 people in a big semicircle, an unbroken semicircle of people around me. And there was a big school of French students, about 13, 14, 15. And I noticed especially in the young men, in the young boys, that they just really settled and were tuned into what I was doing.
Yep.
And I feel it was a beautiful moment in so many levels, but I was so happy to have been able to express so authentically in front of all them young men and let them know that it is okay to get emotional. It is okay to be seen, to be upset. It's okay to draw tears in front of a crowd. And if you need to crumble, you can crumble. Just don't stay there too long. Rise. Breathe deep and let it move through. And it took me 10 minutes to finish that song, but I think it was one of the... And there was definitely a couple of squawky moments in there as well. But I think it was one of the most favorite performances ever, because it meant so much to me and it meant so much to everybody around as well.
Wow. I can definitely resonate, you know, like it's, I think it's extremely, it shows this vulnerability that we have as men, you know, to be expressive and truthful and honest. It really is courageous, right? And it comes back to this, like, this word that I love, which is integrity. And it's, there's nothing to prove, nothing to show. It's just the beingness of who we are. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially in front of such youth, you know, men, young men that are really learning, you know, I think that this is the most important part, is that where we may have had different models as we were growing up based off of what society and culture had tried to dictate towards us. And I always remember looking at my father and identifying with his like kindness and his compassion, and then seeing from the external world what it meant to be a man, and really being confused. And it's fascinating to me, because although there was so much projection from like these like video games or movies or things like what it meant to be a man, I had the most beautiful mirror and teacher at home, and I didn't listen, you know, hard enough or pay attention enough. And so it really helped me define, as I went through my own pains, how can we continue to do that? And having more mirrors like yourself is an extremely powerful way for, I believe, not just young men, but young women also to navigate and see that, hey, it's actually vulnerability. It's actually authentic expression. It's actually this connection to your emotional understanding that allows you to really profoundly express this unique perspective that you have, that's yours. And then it resonates and captures their own understanding of saying, hey, wow, I'm super inspired by this man. And as a result, it's okay for me to do that, you know, when I go back to school, or when I have a conversation, or when I have to, you know, express a paper, or And it starts to give this domino effect of the people that were just, that we don't even know, that we don't even know that are feeling it, you know? And it gives, it's a beautiful mission, because I believe that music, you know, is such a key identifier of allowing people to tap into their true selves, their highest sense of selves, right? Through the music, the frequency of it, the expression of the singer. And so how do you feel that utilizing music and your words and your own story is allowing that to bring more of the right individuals into your sphere of influence, into your tribe, so to speak?
Well, yeah. I love writing music. I've always wrote songs to help me make sense of my life and the world around. And in Ibiza, we have a Wild Man Wednesdays group, men's group, where we go hiking every Wednesday. We think it's really important for men to get together and have a shared mission. I think speaking circles are great and have the place, but also I think men find it really important to be pack animals on a mission, cutting through the woods and doing cliff jumps, and then when we can bond, it opens us up to talk. I think it helps the men that are stuck in their masculine, gives them a place to open up, because it makes them feel masculine and safe to be able to dip into emotional issues. And it helps the men that are stuck in the feminine to get to be able to beat the chest and move forward and share. And I remember writing a song, it was called We're Not on the Run, and it was about the men's group, and it was about us as a whole. And after one hike, I came back and said, lads, I've wrote this song. I hope you like it. And it was one of the most nervy performances I've ever done. And when we got back to the cars, I got my guitar out of the van and I played them this song. And just the amount of love that we all shared in that moment together, because I'd been able to capture the message of this group and the heart, this unified heart of this group of men. And it just resonated with everyone so much. And we had like a little bit of a breakdown afterwards, and we were all hugging each other, and and it was beautiful bringing together. And that was a really powerful specific moment. But I feel like I played a gig last night in the pub and in one of the pubs in London, and it was just beautiful seeing everybody singing along to some heartfelt lyrics, and everybody, you the way that you're singing their song, you must have felt this way as well. You must have felt this way. You must have felt, we're all the same. We've all had the same pain. We've all felt the same love. We've all felt the same. We're all experiencing the same life, just on a different track, in a different meat suit. So it really unifies people, music. And that's one of its biggest joys that it brings me, is that through something that I'm able to do, I'm able to bring strangers together or friends together in a moment.
You're so beautiful, brother, man. Like, honestly, the way that you even express the joy of, you know, the past experiences that you have, I can see your excitement, it's like you're putting yourself back into that moment and you're allowing yourself to feel it. In for men and women, you know, that are really, I think, that are wanting to tap back into the feeling, what would you say, you know, because we're taught, right? We're taught for such a long period of time in society to be of the mind, to be stuck in a mind perspective, to really be focused on things that are external to our understanding and not really listen to what is inside. So what would you suggest to anybody that's out there that really wants to connect more to their emotional understanding, their emotional self, and, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, and really help themselves through, you know, showing up in the world every day, whether it's whatever they do, but how, what would you suggest?
I think spending time alone to do nothing is so important. And that can be certainly a regular thing, but at least once in a lifetime, to etch out a space of time to just, whether it be a week or two or a month or three, whatever you can scramble together, to just be in nature, have no to-do lists, have a pen and paper and no distractions, and just practice being. And what comes up, allow to come up. And do some journaling, do some writing. I think that's such a rarity nowadays, to not be doing. Because even when we're not doing anything, we're distracted by something. We're on social media, or we think we're doing nothing. Oh, what are you doing today? I haven't really done much, but I've been watching videos, or I'm doing it, like pottering around the house, doing the bits and bobs that I needed to do. Like, and there's never really a moment where we're comfortable to just be. And it's only in that beingness where the physical realm is not taking action, completely in out of action, that the inner realm can really come to the surface and we can really pay attention to that. Meditation's been a big part for me to be okay with that. But even long before I was meditating, it was sitting and just feeling with a pen and paper and a guitar under my arm, and okay, how does this feel? I need to get this out of me, because it's so painful for it to just be bouncing around in there. I need to be able to put it into create something that helps me sort of release the pressure valve a little. So I think time alone is super important.
Do you feel that when you're in taking this time alone, you know, because nature is probably the best way to discover, you know, who we really are on inside. And when you feel this expression of being in nature or being alone, you know, or meditating or doing this practice, is there a certain practice, maybe that's a better question. Is there a certain practice that you do, that anybody on here that's, you know, maybe an aspiring artist or, you know, a creative individual that wants to, you know, really discover their internal self, but they've been so stuck in a place where the outside world has projected. And so instead of them taking the time to identify what they need, they haven't taken, you know, these practices, these moments. So can you let me know, like, what you do, so it gives a good understanding of anybody that's kind of more curious to how they can tap into this creative expression that you have done so beautifully?
I think for somebody stuck in the creative process, where I was just not long ago, there is this sheer feeling of discomfort and feeling under threat that arises. And then there's a feeling of, oh, I must not pursue that. I must not pursue that. That's dangerous. And the best way to overcome that feeling that I found is getting in cold water. getting in cold water and calming your entire nervous system, taking those deep breaths, feeling every muscle in your body tensed, and being able to take control and relax into it. I'm in control of this. I can feel the fear, but I'm still here, and I am calm, and I am okay. And to practice that is not just about being able to get in cold water. It's about being able to settle yourself, to be able to settle those survival chemicals that are exploding all over because we think there's some sort of danger of being seen. So it's a funny paradox that all an artist ever wants is to be seen, and the thing an artist fears most is to be seen. it's crazy.
I spent a lot of time with working with Tony Robbins, and actually, I don't know if you know that, but nonetheless, there's this thing that he talks about artists, and artists are skilled producers, and skilled producers are the ones that are able to lead communities in a very powerful way. And I used to never think that, I'm an artist myself. I used to always think I was very entrepreneurial when I started out on my own journey. And I realized that, through my own deep work, and I realized that I'm actually a complete artist. And the way that I look at everything in life is based off of an expression of truth and honesty and vulnerability. And oftentimes I challenge myself because it's not necessarily that I want to be seen, but it's about knowing that what's coming through me needs to be seen. It's about not being, it's about the message, right? It's about and so allowing the egoic part of the person to let go and allow the words or the message or the discovery to really come through. And I realized that at that point that we actually become the vessel. We just become the vessel. It's coming through you. You don't allow things to, you're not navigating. And this type of skilled production, I think, becomes now a new responsible role. And it gives you a lot more of that certainty. It gives you a lot more of that responsibility. You step into a new dynamic as an artist. And as a result, you actually stop worrying about the judgment of others, and you start focusing on the mission, on the intention, on the work, and you do it no matter what, because there's going to be people that don't resonate, and that's okay, right? I think that this is what gives us that fire. This is what gives us that strength. This is what gives us that commitment, because we've done the work on ourselves to know that the mirror is not always going to be the most beautiful one on the external world, but defining that we are the skilled producers of wanting to really show up in the world that is just truthful. It's just honest. It's just an integrity. And as a result, we're going to be able to resonate with the right people that show up around us. And so what does community mean? Because it's about common unity. So, we both lived in Ibiza. We both spent time in Ibiza. Community is very important, was very important for both of us. Now we're both in different parts of the world. How are you attracting that community or that common unity based off of the way that you're showing up, not just inside of music, but also on the outside? Like, how are you, because the emotional part of you is allowed to be expressive in the music and the way that you're showing up. And how are you showing up outside of you singing? How are you showing up outside of you on stage or in front of people, in front of an audience? Because there's alignment there and you can see it. So I'm just curious to know for anybody that's listening.
Yeah. And In Ibiza for the past year and a half with my men's group, and I've got a big sisterhood as well over there, a big group of female friends as well. And both equally as important, my friends are really my family, and I really found balance, and it was real healing time for me in Ibiza. So grateful for the last year and a half. And then now I've found myself in London. I'm trying to attract that new tribe. And I really want to resonate with other artists. I'm trying to join other artists into my circle, because in Ibiza, everybody's a DJ. There is a musical community there, of course, but just being in London, I want to pull in some musicians and have a jam. And I went down to the river the other day. One of the other buskers, he's the most beautiful pianist. And I can just sit and watch him for every really emotive, really, really love emotive. Piano. It's so beautiful. Yeah, it really blows me away. And with the busking, we have sort of, we have the times, and then when the time comes to an end, and then you have the switchover of artists. And I think he got the impression that some people might be really picky about the changing over time, and I was next, but I was just so in awe of watching him. I was like, play us a couple more songs. And he was taken back that I'd sort of allowed him more time and wasn't like pushing to get my way in the spotlight. And afterwards we were packing down the gear and packing his gear, and I was setting my gear up, and he looked up at me, and he just caught my eyes, and he held my gaze for a moment. And he's a real deep soul, and he speaks really calm, and he's just really calm all the time. From what I've seen, he looked me deep in the eyes and just said, "You can just really tell when somebody's done plant medicine, can't you?" And I burst out laughing. And I just burst out laughing. It was hilarious. It just cracked me up. And it was just the seeing one another so deeply in such an ordinary moment. I forgot, to be honest, I forgot what the question was. I knew it shone this moment to me.
No, it's basically just like, how are you feeling like you're showing up outside of that? And I think you just explained it, really. It's like, you know, just being present for others, you know, and yes, you know, yes, how you're attracting, yes, the right tribe is, you know, bro, I mean, presence is something that music allows for me to identify the present. Like it takes almost you back to a moment of being in nature, being alone, being in music, because it creates such a vibration of a whole. It really puts people in a present moment. And so it allows them to attach to this like feeling of being by yourself, because everybody's listening to the same thing. There's not like so much, you know, mixed things happening all at once. And I think, you know, from what I'm hearing, what I heard is, you know, it's about being present. It's about you being present to somebody else so that you can listen and observe. Help somebody else feel seen, help somebody else feel heard. So help somebody else feel like, hey, like I'm actually paying attention. Because in a world where there's so many distractions and so many things are trying to take us away from the moment, right? Which is really all we have. What does it mean to, you know, show up for each other? Because everybody is so focused on just themselves, right? But there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody has their own way of thinking and being. And if you're present to somebody else, if you're listening to somebody else, it gives you this gift that allows you to co-create, you know?
100%. And this has shown up in the past few days. I've got a few men, a number of men that have all, it's all happened in a very short space of time. And they've reached out in a way that's typical of us men to not tell the full story, but I could just see there was something more behind that message. And instead of glossing over it, I've really made the effort to go, okay, what is that piece? What is that piece that's hiding there? What is it underneath these words? And it turns out these men are really, really struggling and really going through a hard time with the relationships. Relationships have come to an end in a really difficult way. And right now I've got to be honest, I'm feeling a little bit heart-achy myself. And it felt to me so important to serve for them, for the men, to know that they are connected, to know, like, the suicide, the epidemic of suicides that is between men between the age of 21 and 40 is insane, absolutely insane. And it's because we feel so disconnected, we find it so much more difficult to reach out. And so I'm really passionate about making a difference in that area, and make it being so important for men to be able to speak about the things that are weighing us down without having to have a skin full of beer first.
Mm-hmm.
And then wake up the next day and that, oh, it's all right, I had to cry, but it's all right, I was pissed, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's so, so important to be able to speak. And so in serving and just literally just saying, I am here for you, here's my number, I'm here for you anytime, and just tagging little inspirational things that I see on Instagram that might resonate and go, that's going to align with him today, that would resonate with him, and being there to support each other made me feel stronger. It didn't drain my energy. It gave me energy to serve, give me the energy, and made me feel more whole, made my heart feel a little more healed, made me feel more connected. And that was a surprise. It was not something that I've foreseen happening. And yeah, especially for us men, we do find it. I think it's beautiful the way that women have that intimacy with one another to be able to sit with a cup of tea and talk about how this is hurt here and this is hurt here and this is hurt here, and sit and work through each other's problems on an emotional level. And as men, we just find it so awkward or difficult to do that, and it ought not to be awkward. It doesn't have to be awkward, because yeah, we're all experiencing it the same. And once we can blast that door open with another and just dare to be seen, that's power. There's power in that.
There's complete power, and I think holding that for each other too is important. You know, it's like holding the space for another man to really allow himself to be there, you know, to be in that vulnerable state, and then listening. This is, it just goes back to another piece of presence and giving us this time and energy to listen. You know, there's this saying recently, it's like, you don't know what another person is ever going through, so just be kind, right? And I think that that's something that for me resonates deeply, because there's times in life where, you know, we're both, you know, you've experienced it too, ebbs and flows, right? Like where there's good times and there's bad times. I don't know if I call it bad, but not as good times. Another lesson.
Difficult times. Yeah. Difficult times.
And I think that it's like, you know, the world will show you, hey, you know, like, you know, people will judge you and they'll, you know, say things about you, or, but they don't really understand. They don't even get curious, you know? And I think that this is a beautiful way of saying, hey, you know, like, at the end of the day, whatever you believe, like, about another person's map of the world or their opinion is great, but there's always ways that you can have compassion and be kind in the way that you express that, you know, that belief, right? And I believe that, because effectively communicating with one another, even if you don't agree, there's nothing wrong with disagreeing. I just believe that there's a way to do it in a sensitive way where you're really fostering, because ultimately the way you treat somebody else, right, the way is the way that you treat yourself. What do you think?
100%. 100%. And I love that this has come up today because I had a disagreement last night with a friend of mine. We've not seen each other for a while. She'd come to see me play the gig. She'd come to stay with me in London for a few days and played the gig. We had an amazing evening. And then on the walk back to the tube station, which was just 5 minutes away from the pub, we managed to get into a debate where we were at loggerheads, so much so that we'd walked an extra 20 minutes past the tube station. Completely missed it and had to turn around and walk another 20 minutes back. And we were at complete loggerheads, but we kept it calm and we kept it in love. And we were trying every which way to allow the other to see the other's perspective and try on the other's perspective. And in the end, it took we missed the last tube. It took getting in the cab and having a few beats of silence in the back seat, and just having a breath, and then a quick cuddle and a laugh and a love you and let it rest, and then let it rest. And it was just deep respect there. It was just deep respect for one another. And we did our absolute best to see. And we're so similar on so many levels. And for both of us, it was so confusing how, and so surprising that the other didn't take on this same viewpoint. And to just allow it to settle and go, okay, yeah, that's where we're different then. And that is also beautiful. And that is also okay.
Exactly. That's also beautiful. Bro, you're epic. And I think this openness, this open-mindedness, and it shows up for sure in your music. I'm looking forward to, you know, really watch you expand and watch you grow. Do you have any way that people can reach out to you, get to know more about what you're up to, and how they can really find out more about your single?
Well, Eric, I am so happy to say these words. I am now on Spotify. It feels amazing because after years and years of gigging and playing gigs, and people come to me and say, where can I listen to your music? And I go, there's nothing online. I've got nothing online yet. I finally say that. So the first single, Feel Good, is on Spotify now. And my main output into the world, onto the internet, is through Instagram. People can find me there, Brad Jameson.
Amazing, bro. I'm really excited. So I'll make sure I put the link into the show notes for anybody that is looking and wants a simple, easy way to jump on. Bro, last question. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Tell them I love them. Without the need for it to be returned. Tell them all I love them. I think that would be the most important thing for me. Them to know.
Bless your heart, brother. I appreciate your time, your energy, your kindness, your compassion, your magic, bro. Keep going. You are one of a kind, my dear friend, and always a blessing to reconnect. Big love to you.
Honestly, thank you so much for having me today, Eric. It's been so refreshing having this conversation. I love you loads, my brother. Love you loads, and I'm looking forward to connecting in the physical sometime whenever our paths cross. That'd be epic. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Hey everyone, and thank you so much for listening to the Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode.
and make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.